Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I'm going home to my city.
Good morning from San Francisco, everybody. California sun just rising over the beautiful bay. Visible outside my 26th floor window here at the Grand Hyatt Hotel. It is absolutely gorgeous here. We're monitoring Janet Yellen, the Fed chairman's remarks when they begin. If they are affecting the market in any substantial way, we certainly will bring you those remarks. I think I told you yesterday, I'm here working on a Fox News special on Scott Peterson. You remember Scott Peterson, the guy, the fertilizer salesman, condemned to die for the murder of his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn child, Connor. Now, Scott Peterson is condemned to die, but he'll probably never be executed. He's among the 725 inmates on California's death row. 725 of them. I mean, in Texas, they'd be going through them at the rate of probably one or two a week. Here, nobody has been executed since 2006. So actually, the murder of the fetus, the murder of Connor, the unborn child, is the basis of Scott Peterson's appeal from the death sentence. I interviewed Mark Garagos, his attorney in Los Angeles, yesterday. Garagos argues that Peterson couldn't have murdered Connor because Connor hadn't been born yet. And I think it's a fascinating argument because it might come down to a Roe v. Wade about whether Connor was viable, was he sufficiently developed that he could survive outside the womb. In any case, that's for another day. Temperatures here are in the 60s. Now, Noam, the air is clear. The vistas are drop-dead fabulous, as always. I can't wait to get back to New York City in those icy single digits. What's it like?
Oh, it's beautiful here. It's a whopping 9 degrees, but the sun's out, yeah. So that's the one positive thing.
That winter sun is such a cheat, though. It's so wane. You know that word, wane?
Yeah. That's what it is, wane. Doesn't do a whole lot.
Wane and empty of heat. Anyway, I'm anxious to get home to my beautiful bride and my children. The biggest news around here, actually, is it's even bigger than the ongoing war that always happens in San Francisco between the hippies and the longtime residents and the, on the one hand, and the newly arrived techie types who are driving up the prices of housing to crazy levels. I mean, for $1 million around here, you can get the far suburbs in a teardown with, a barely modest view. I mean, it is incredible. You know, the New York City market is booming, but aside from those $50 million apartments that the Russians are buying, New York is much more reasonable than San Francisco. It's nuts here. The Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50, that's the other thing everyone's talking about. Last night they kicked off the, believe it or not, the one-year rundown to the next Super Bowl, the big one, the 50, the Golden Super Bowl, they're calling it, because it's going to be held here in the Golden State at the 49ers' new stadium. It's not in San Francisco, the new stadium for the football team. It's 45 miles south of here, down in the town of Santa Clara. Which doesn't have the same kind of foggy, damp weather that this beautiful city by the bay often experiences. Plus, Santa Clara is a lot closer to Techie Central, that's Silicon Valley. That's the area around San Jose and Sunnyvale where all the digital royalty lives and works. I just see now that Today is the birthday of Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs. He would have been 60 years old today. And now his company, Apple, is a $700 billion company. It's probably going to be worth $1 trillion soon. That's $1,000 billion. Here's some sound from the movie, the Steve Jobs movie. You got that, Chris?
While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Well, like I said, Apple, a $700 billion company, soon to be worth $1 trillion, worth twice what Exxon is worth. I mean, it is really amazing. So anyway, we're going to be watching Janet Yellen talking about money. We'll watch this to see what happens to the market as the Fed chairman talks about interest rates and so forth. But I just finishing up on my thoughts about techies. You know, they're on their way to ruling the world. But I got a good laugh this morning, Noam. There's a story out here about the website selling tickets to Burning Man. You've heard of Burning Man, the huge counterculture outdoor festival, you know, the big bonfire held each year in northern Nevada. Well, they hacked the website for Burning Man. So all these techies now are trying to get tickets to Burning Man. They can't because the website has been hacked, and now all these looters have the tickets. In other words, the digital freaks have pirated their own digital bonanza there. It is so ironic. You know, it's the future of the world. I'm telling you, nothing on the internet is safe. Even the whole peace and love music arts festival celebrating the brave new world. Anyway, it's all screwed up now. There's no tickets available because the hackers have it all. So here's my, I got some not so random thoughts. And ladies and gentlemen, this is where I'd love you to plug in. I think, and I've been thinking about this, and I think that it's a big deal. I see the Dow up 33, so maybe what she's about to say here is good news. But I'll watch it, and if she makes real news, Noam, help me monitor Janet there.
Sure.
All right, so the American Sniper movie. All right, let me start there. The American Sniper movie. I think that what it did was to reveal the ideological essence of Hollywood in a way that no right-wing complaints could do it, by ignoring that great movie. Because it wasn't just a war movie. It was a great movie. It was a wonderfully acted, vividly depicted. I know I was on that ground. I saw what seemed to me to be an absolutely accurate portrayal of what was going on. Bradley Cooper was sensational. They absolutely ignored it, except for that one minor Oscar it got. But it revealed the left-wing elitist activism of Hollywood in a way that no amount of revelations about their donations could. I mean, they are on their way to irrelevance. Those movies that they celebrated the other day were, you know, cult movies, small movies made, you know, what, 5 million people saw the one with Michael Keaton, the Birdman? I mean, how can you have a hit TV show based on movies that nobody sees? I think that they're on their way to irrelevance. And so is, my second random thought, professional golf without Tiger Woods. I mean, just think about this. I had golf. I was looking around, looked for golf. And I remember when Tiger Woods was playing everybody. Even when Tiger Woods was scratching his belly, sitting on the golf cart waiting for the next guy to go, you watched him and the cameras were on him, the most fascinating man by far in golf. Nobody is going to watch professional golf now without Tiger Woods. I mean, who wants to watch a bunch of pot-bellied British guys playing, you know, a game and looking like the Kiwanis outing? I mean, it's not going to happen. And my last sports thought of the day, because I'm getting this all off my chest, is Alex Rodriguez. I mean, I think that Alex Rodriguez is a train wreck that's soon going to make New York forget about the Knicks. That's how bad it's going to be. Now, I hope I'm wrong about that, but I don't know, Noam. I don't know what you're thinking, but I believe in redemption. I would love to be wrong. I would love him to, you know, come back clean, no drugs, telling the truth, and leading the Yankees to a pennant. I just think that it's going to be like the Knicks again, though. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, the smart thing is he came out yesterday and spoke for, I don't know, 6 minutes or something like that, Alex Rodriguez. And so now, you know, you can't keep asking him the same question over and over again. So now he just has to be out on the field, and we'll see how he is. And if he plays well, the fans will forget.
Yeah, but can he play well? You know, the pitchers are already there. The pitchers and catchers are already there. I know my buddy CC Sabathia. I'm really rooting for him. I love the guy. You know, we know him. We know the Sabathias very well. Our daughters were in school together, in nursery school together, and I'd love to see him come back. I know he put on some weight. He wanted to. He needed to. Once he went under 300 pounds, he's a giant of a man. He lost that overwhelming power. But anyway, you know, against people, if Sabathia is throwing well, I mean, the other pitchers they have in the major leagues, you know, obviously Sabathia is Rodriguez's teammate, but Alex is going to face some great young pitchers, and he's getting up there in age. And with all this distraction, I don't know. I just think that the season's going to be a mess.
You know, you were talking about the Oscars before, and I was looking this up because I had seen this earlier, that the Oscar voters, and here's maybe the huge problem why you're talking about why it'll be irrelevant in what they say. 94% Caucasian, the Oscar voters, 77% male, and the average age is 62.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of cross-section of America is that?
That's no cross-section of all, at all.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Okay, now two other quick thoughts, and I'm already over time, but I just want to lay this out because this is where the show is going to go today. I think it is impossible not to see these continuing attacks on Bill O'Reilly by this motley collection of disappeared old-timers that they regurgitated from someplace and the fiery left-wing ideologues from Mother Jones and elsewhere who are masquerading as journalists. It is impossible to see what they are doing to Bill O'Reilly as anything but political retaliation for the fall of Brian Williams. And I think you got to call it for what it is. It's another, expose of left-wing hypocrisy. But here's what I want most of the show to be about today. And you got to hear me out on this one. By allowing a shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security, unless the Obama administration absolutely takes apart its compassionate program for the legalization of long-term law-abiding undocumented immigrants. If the hard right demands that the Department of Homeland Security be shut down, the hard right of the Republican Party will be revealed as a group whose hatred of immigrants exceeds its love of America. I know I'm using Rudy Giuliani's language there, but I'm doing that intentionally. If the hard right of the Republican Party reveals that its hatred of immigrants exceeds its concerns for this nation's security, then they are revealed to be ideologues without conscience. And you talk about hypocrites. These are people who use their patriotism on their lapels and they strut it around, and yet they're willing to close down the Department of Homeland Security or gut it just to make Obama back off on his compassionate program for the Dreamers, those Dream Act students, and these parents of citizen children. I think it will reveal them, and I'm going to talk to Peter King about that at the bottom of the hour, and I'll be right back after this.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Institutions is likely to diminish only gradually. The primary means of raising the federal funds rate will be to increase the rate of interest paid on excess reserves.
All right, there's Janet Yellen, the Fed chair.
Reverse repurchase agreement.
And whatever she's saying, and other, you know, kind of my eyes glass over, but the people who know what she's talking about maybe like what she's saying, because the Dow now is broadening its gains. It was up just over 60 just a minute ago, so that's good news. I want to get to your calls momentarily, 866-Geraldo. I also wanted to give you a heads up before I return to what I have been so at an all-time high. All right, do it down at an all-time high. The shutdown of the government, and I know it's not a total shutdown because some essential employees are forced to work even though they don't get paid, but you imagine how you would like it if you were a member of the United States Coast Guard and you weren't getting your biweekly paycheck. I mean, it's bogus. Speaking of bogus, you know that I have defended Al Sharpton for many years and consistently. There are two disturbing reports, and I want to talk about those probably at the top of the next hour. Talk about Al Sharpton and, you know, that hidden camera sting where the sister of or the daughter of Eric Garner, the chokehold victim, is saying that Sharpton was all about the money. That and now this explosive $20 billion lawsuit that alleges that the Comcast, NBC Comcast, paid off Sharpton and his National Action Network in cash donations in exchange for not screaming about its lack of black-owned TV channels. So we'll talk about Al Sharpton at the top of the hour. Peter King coming after Noam's next newscast at the bottom of the hour. Now I want to get back to my main point. Well, I tell you, before I do, let me take Freddie's been holding on a while about what I said at the top of the program about Scott Peterson. Freddie, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Geraldo. I wanted to know if, is it Lacey Peterson was his wife?
Lacey was his wife, right.
Yeah, and if she chose to abort, she would have been legally allowed to, right?
I think that I don't know exactly how developed the fetus was. That's one of the legal issues. I don't know. Under Roe v. Wade, you're allowed to abort as long as the unborn child is not viable. In other words, that the unborn child can't live independently of the mother's womb. I don't know. I think it'll be a fact question. Why? What's your point?
The argument's going to be if the mother wants, it's a person. But if the mother doesn't want the child, it's something else.
That's right. So the question is whether or not there's going to be consistency between abortion law and criminal law. You're absolutely right, and I appreciate the wisdom of that. Thank you. Okay, now back to my point. Now, this shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security by Republicans who are, by their words and their deeds and their votes, stringent about national security and defending our homeland and defending our borders, they are going to allow a shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security unless the Obama administration volunteers to remove or gut this compassionate program for the legalization of these long-term law-abiding undocumented immigrants with citizen children. I'm telling you, but if they do that, then the hard right of the Republican Party is revealed to be haters. Their hatred of these undocumented immigrants exceeding even their concern for this nation's security. I'm telling you, it is absolutely indefensible. It is beyond belief. I can't tell you how upset it makes me. And here's Joshua in Brooklyn. What's up, Joshua?
Okay, I have a bunch of points. Let me make this quickly. First,
I tell you what, Joshua, do me a favor. Can you please hold on? Because Noam's got the news now.
No problem.
All right, you hold on, Joshua. I promise we're going to come to you first as soon as Noam completes the news, and I'll take all your calls, folks, at 866-Geraldo.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it, Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
38 minutes after 10 o'clock. On this Tuesday, February the 24th, 2015, and I'm telling you, I'm very upset about what's going on in Congress right now. Very upset that the Department of Homeland Security, the funding, could be withheld because of a government shutdown engineered by the Republicans. The Democrats also to blame. I mean, the President of the United States, as you know, and I appreciated what he did, declared by executive fiat that millions of immigrants here without proper documentation could get work permits if they qualified. In other words, if they were law-abiding, long-term residents with citizen children, they would qualify for work permits. Many on the right wing of the Republican Party outraged by that, now threatening, unless the president reverses himself on the immigration action, that they will shut down the Department of Homeland Security as soon as Friday. Now, shutdown may be overstating. Essential employees will still have to go to work, but they will not be getting paid. It's going to be extremely disruptive. And here is the solution, I think, and I would like very much for my next guest, the esteemed Congressman Peter King. Congressman King, welcome.
Hello.
Okay, how you doing? I hear some weird things on my line.
Yeah, I'm at the airport here.
You're at the airport. Okay. So here is the situation. You got a federal court judge in Texas who has said the immigration action is illegal for various reasons that he cites. Why don't the Republicans allow the Department of Homeland Security to be funded and let the federal courts decide whether what the president did vis-a-vis undocumented immigrants is legal, constitutional, or not?
You know, first of all, let me make it clear at the very beginning. I fully support DHS being funded. I think this is absolute insanity that the Republicans are tying the two together. I also think that it's irresponsible of the Democrats to be filibustering in the Senate and not allowing these votes to come up. But having said that, finger pointing doesn't do any good. We face the greatest threats we've faced since 9/11, and the last thing we should be doing is ending DHS funding or suspending it or cutting it off. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
So can't you talk to your colleagues in the Republican caucus? I mean, you're so well known. You have such influence. People believe in you. I know you're at the airport there, Congressman Peter King, at the airport, our guest, as we hear the announcements. You have a total briefing on intelligence matters. We trust you when you say the country is at greater risk now than ever before. Why don't you say that on the floor of the United States Congress to your colleagues?
First of all, I'm saying it to them all the time, and what I'm going to be doing right now, as I made it clear, and a number of others have, we told Republican leadership that we are going to do everything we can this week to bring us to a vote. If it comes to a vote now, it's four, it'll pass. So if I have to vote with Democrats, I will. If I have to vote against Republicans, I will. And there's a number of us who are willing to do that. So I am doing everything, and I've been on national television the last several days. I'm saying it now again on your show, that this goes beyond party loyalty. It makes absolutely no sense to do what we're doing right now, and I will vote and do whatever has to be done to make sure this gets passed.
As we compete with the announcement at the airport with Congressman Peter King, what do you, we watched as our friend Mayor Rudy Giuliani was absolutely reamed for saying he questioned the love of country within the heart of the President of the United States. What about those who say this action by the hard right wing of the Republican Party shows that they hate the undocumented immigrants more than they love their country or more than they care about their country's security?
Well, again, unlike you, I do disagree with the immigration order that the president issued. I think it does violate the Constitution, and it has to be something that's done by Congress. Having said that, I think that these people are so focused on the immigration issue that they are willing to somehow ignore the reality of what's happened. So it's wrong. They're putting the country at risk. And I have no problem saying that. They are putting the country at risk because of an issue which is totally separate from terrorism.
Finally, before I let you catch your flight, people argue that this isn't a total shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security. Essential personnel will still have to come to work even though they're not getting paid. What do you say to that? But it's not so bad.
No, it is bad. First of all, you're asking people to come to work and not get paid. And I'm not even that concerned about the people, even though I should be. What I'm concerned about is how effective are they going to be working. I mean, if you had a crime wave going on, you're saying all the cops had to go out and work, but they weren't going to get paid. Fact is that at least some of them are not going to do the job as well as they should. Same with TSA. You're going to hurt morale. You're going to have people have bills to pay. You have kids that are sick. Their mind is not going to be fully on the job it's supposed to be. Secondly, as far as processing grants, as far as getting the funding that's needed, as far as sharing the information with the local governments, they won't be able to do that as effectively. Also, the office personnel in Washington, they will be actually kept home. They will not be working, and that's going to definitely have an impact. You don't do this with departments. There's no reason to do it. And that's the whole, why play Russian roulette? Let's just say it only affects our security by 2% or 3%. Is that a risk worth taking when we have all these Islamist groups coming after us? Why put our country at risk for any amount? If it's 1%, 2%, 10%, why do that at a time? Let's say a bomb goes off next week, and our answer is going to be, well, it wasn't Republicans' fault, it was the Democrats, because they wouldn't vote against the filibuster. Or Democrats are saying, well, the Republicans wouldn't do this. We have an obligation to get this done. We have an obligation as Americans, and that comes first. But we should be operating at 110% capacity, not 80 or 85 or 90.
Congressman Peter King, I thank you for your wisdom and your patience there at the airport. I think what you had to say was worth enduring the slight interruptions. You really could not have said it better, in my opinion. I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you. Again, sorry for the noise in the background. Thank you.
No problem, brother. Okay, I'll take one call, and then we'll take a break. One call on this topic. Let me go to Joshua, who I promised I was going to go to earlier. Joshua, let me get you here. Okay, take it away, buddy.
Okay, how you doing? Okay, thank you. I heard the congressman. He had a couple of good points. I just want to say a few little quick points over here. I think you need to be a little bit more specific that more than 80% of of the Department of Homeland Security employees are essential, and they do end up getting paid after everything is taken care of. Now, regarding
Stop right there. What if you're in the Coast Guard, your family's living paycheck to paycheck, and you're told to patrol the waters without salary? How would you feel about it, Joshua?
Okay, so let me get to that. Well, first of all, when you take this job, you know that. Now, I don't think they hate the immigrants more than they love the country. I think it goes together. They love the country, so they cannot take the fact that there's illegal immigrants that are hurting other people from having jobs because they're competing with illegal immigrants. Now, let me say one more thing. I don't know how in the world you've ever defended Sharpton. I mean, my boss is an African-American, and he's a liberal, and he tells me all the time for years, Sharpton is a hater. All he cares about is the money. I mean, I hope he paid you a couple of dollars for defending him, at least, because that man is a stick.
Come on,
man.
Joshua, why do you make a statement like that? Why do you make a statement that you know is false? Do you do that because you want to put one over on me, that you want to show that you're slick, that you could come and you could hit Geraldo? Oh, I must have taken money from Sharpton. What are you drinking, man? What are you drinking?
No,
and anyway, have your boss call. Have your boss call. I'd like to speak to your boss. I bet he's a more reasonable man than you are. 49 minutes after, 47 minutes after 10 o'clock, I shall return.
Geraldo, live, local, today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
53 minutes after 10 o'clock, within the Republican Party, there are the really hard-nosed and the more moderate. The more moderate still don't like what the president did in terms of the abolition, the acceptance of undocumented migrants who had been here a long time. The president, you know, he executive order in November after the election said that the undocumented immigrants who've been here for a long time and have committed no crime and have children who are citizens can stay and get work permits. Earlier, before the 2012 election, he gave legal protection to the young undocumented immigrants known as the Dreamers. You know, those who are brought here through no fault of their own by their parents, and they got here before a certain date, and they were of a certain age. The hardcore in the Republican Party want not only to abolish the president's pass, these work permits for the undocumented adults, the hardcore in the House, their version of the bill that Boehner wants put forth, would not only undo the work permits, it'll also illegalize the Dreamers, or re-illegalize the Dreamers, those kids who got the pass in 2012. So, I mean, please, how harsh can you get? I think it's going to cost the Republicans the White House again in 2016. That's my opinion. Hi, Sam in Queens. What's up, man? Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo. And folks, I'm going to get to your calls. We're going to get a lot of calls from now on in, but I ask you to hold your Sharpton calls till the next hour. But, Sam, what's on your mind today?
I support the DHS shutdown because I believe the immigration issue should be separated out from the whole budgetary mess because it's being...
Why not have the courts decide whether the immigration action by the president is legal or not? Why not let, instead of having the legislative branch and the executive branch decide, why not have the judicial branch, the third branch of government, decide what's legal and what's not?
Well, I believe, as the Congress has said earlier, he believes that it already is unconstitutional. So why should the Congress keep funding something that is most likely an unconstitutional move?
Why not have a judge rule? Why not rule on it? Why not have a finding by an appellate court, probably the Supreme Court of the United States, whether it's legal or not? Why don't you have that determination rather than what the congressman thinks or that one thinks or this one thinks?
I believe the best thing to do right now is to separate that issue out from the rest of the budget. Let us move on with the security aspect of the budget.
What about the Dream Act students from 2012? You want them illegalized?
Yes, because I live in Queens. If you come to Queens, you'll see the
problem. Them too. Wait a second. So them too. You want the kids out too?
Yes.
All right, Sam. I know Queens.
A burden
I know.
Here in New York City.
I got you. There's 500,000 here in New York City. 500,000. You know, are they all a burden? I'm telling you, who's going to deliver your pizzas? That cold night. I'll never forget it. That cold night. No, we can talk about it. That cold night, it was like below zero, and all I saw outside those bicycle delivery boys, yep. Chinese food, pizzas, here, there, no citizen would take that job on that frigid night, 2 a.m, delivering pizza on the Upper East Side. Stand by, ladies and gentlemen. What a show we have. The Sharpton controversy coming up.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
As I indicated, well, let me say more generally. I think if you look around the globe in modern times and you consider every country that's gone through a period of chronic high inflation or hyperinflation, what you will find is a central bank that was pressured to print money by
politicians.
By politicians who are unable.
All right, that's Janet Yellen, the Fed chairman, who, as we mentioned, is addressing Capitol Hill right now, and the markets like it. Although the Nasdaq is flat, the Dow up over 70. I think it's record territory. And that's a whole other discussion. What the Republicans do running against Barack Obama's party next time up, Dow up 73, next time up when the economy is definitely improving. So will the Democrats, will Hillary Clinton run on the Obama economy? Can the Republicans, Jeb Bush or whomsoever it is, run against the Obama economy? Things are definitely getting better. I'm going to get to the Sharpton story because it really is very incendiary, and there is now video, so we can talk about that. But before I do, I know many of you on this Tuesday, February the 24th, I'm coming to you live from San Francisco. My buddy Noam Layden is in frigid New York. It's sunny, 60 degrees here. Noam, sorry, man.
Yeah, 11 and sunny here. Thanks a lot.
Well, at least it's sunny. I'll be there soon. I miss, when I go on the road nowadays, it kills me to be away from the family. And my daughter has dad's disco night at her school on Thursday.
Oh, you can't miss
so,
that.
So if I miss that, you know, the thing is you can say to each of those things, like the recital I missed on Sunday, that, okay, there'll always be another one. There'll always be another one. And then you look back and say, oh, guess what? There's never going to be another one
because it's
on to the next thing. So you've missed it. And I don't want to be that dad. I was that dad too often during the war years with the older children. I don't want to be that dad. But I want very much, ladies and gentlemen, to take your calls. And I appreciate your patience at 866-Geraldo. Let me take these calls in this segment. And then, for the rest of the show, I'll take calls on the Sharpton matter if that's what you want to talk about. I think because I have been very supportive of Al Sharpton. And the reason, I don't want to, I'll give you the reason later. Let me stay focused here. Let me get your calls. 866-Geraldo, he is Ray in Queens. Thank you, Ray, for your patience and holding on. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Geraldo, you're not 100% correct because there's a diner in my neighborhood in Queens, Bel Air Diner. A lot of Mexicans deliver. But on the day that it was cold, the guy came in a truck. And I said to him, what happened? It's too cold for the guy. He said, yeah, the boss didn't want him to go out. And the Chinese restaurant, the Chinese guy delivers to me, not a Mexican.
Well, do you check the Chinese guy's ID?
Yeah, he told me he's been in the country 12 years and he's a citizen.
All right, if that's what he told you, it must be true. All right, Ray, I appreciate that news. Don't argue with him. Don't argue with him. The Chinese guy owning a Greek diner, that's only in Queens, only in America. I appreciate that. Vince in New Jersey. What's up, Vince? What's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
You know, I have to tell you first, I'm Puerto Rican, so I understand your, affection to the Spanish-speaking people that are, illegally crossing the border. But I'm an American, and there's 300 million Americans that want jobs. They want to stop paying taxes. 10% of the American people pay 90% of the tax, and I'm one of those.
Oh, Ray, let me ask you a question. My hermano, let me ask you a question there. Do you think Puerto Ricans would do the job of delivering in the 5-degree night in February?
Guess what? If they had to, yes, they would. The Puerto Ricans.
They did when they had to, and they no longer have to, and they don't.
When I was young, but guess what? If that's what we're doing, we're supplementing, the income of these people so they can work at a business and make less money. That's not what America's supposed to be about. Here's the point. The point is there is no budgetary restraints right now. Obama is supposed to go through the Congress, not the Congress ask the president for permission. You got it all backwards, and you know that. You're a lawyer. Right now, he has the, I think he's the first president to never sign a budget. And not because the Republicans, because he had 2 years of a Democrat supermajority. He doesn't want to sign one. He wants to go through the courts. He wants to pass executive action. He wants to bypass the Congress. And the laws are made.
Well, let me just ask you this. Hey, Vince, how'd you like that George W. Bush economy? I'm just saying.
You know what? Let me tell you something. There were less people unemployed. There's 90 million people unemployed today. These numbers are not real. You can say whatever you want.
Well, I mean, maybe you see a different America than I do. Maybe you see a different America than I do.
How many people?
Maybe you do.
How many people invest their money in Wall Street? Like 5% of the American public have their money in Wall Street?
I don't know that. Maybe I'll look it up. But that's a good question.
And it's
you don't know that either. You're making it up. You're making it up.
Single digits of the Americans.
All right, so what is that? So when I give the Dow out, what am I being elitist?
No, you yes.
When I tell what the Dow is?
Don't get me wrong. But
you have a funny way of expressing your admiration, my brother.
You were wrong.
Well, I am not wrong about Al Sharpton to the extent. All right, wait, let me finish. I am not Al Sharpton, and I appreciate your call. Al Sharpton is the leader that most black people want to follow. I mean, it doesn't mean that most Puerto Rican people want to follow him. Doesn't mean that most Irish people want to follow him. Most Italian people want to follow him. But he is a civil rights leader for the black community. And by every survey, no matter how, offensively or provocatively the question is framed, most black people would name Al Sharpton before they'd name Jesse Jackson, before they'd name any member of Congress, Charlie Rangel, you name it. Al Sharpton would be the guy. It's not my guy. It's not your guy, maybe, but in terms of the black community, Al Sharpton is the guy. And the question is whether or not these revelations, and I'm still not going to go to them, but I will because I want to take care of your questions first, whether these revelations will affect how black people. And the last time I saw it, he was like 60%. Even after all of the controversy, he was at 60% of the black people, of African Americans, have high regard for Al Sharpton. I mean, 60% isn't, overwhelming, but you tell me a politician in this country wouldn't love to have a 60% approval rating. I would love to have a 60% approval rating. Here's Tim in Connecticut. What's up, Tim?
Yeah, the one thing you're not mentioning, Geraldo, is that these undocumented airlines.
Well, I don't know what happened to Tim. Maybe, what happened, Chris? You cut him off? Did he say something? No, just, all right. Well, call back, Tim. Call back. We didn't cut you off on purpose. Here's Alfred in New York City. What's up, Alfred?
Yeah, just a comment on what you said, that the Homeland Security will be shut down. My understanding is that maybe 30,000 out of approximately 250,000 will be shut down, and the department will continue as normal. Is that correct or not correct?
It's true that 30,000, and I appreciate that. I thought we clarified this in the last segment. 30,000 would be considered non-essential. They would be furloughed. In other words, they would be temporarily unemployed. The other 200,000 who are considered essential would be required to report to work, but they would not be paid. In other words, the Coast Guard would not be paid. The TSA screeners in the airport would not be paid. The Federal Air Marshal would not be paid. The Border Patrol would not be paid for as long as this goes on. So you have to ask yourselves, as I have been saying, how you would feel if you were living paycheck to paycheck, as most everybody is, not getting paid until the politicians resolve this. Is this the way to run a government? Who paid for the shutdown during the Clinton years? Who paid for the shutdown in 2013? Who did all the surveys indicate took the short end of the stick because of the shutdown? It was the Republicans. Ask Newt Gingrich, who was Speaker of the House during Clinton's administration, 95, I think it was, who got the criticism from shutting down the government? And why shut down the government when the federal courts may be accomplishing exactly what it is that the Republicans in Congress want to accomplish? If the federal court decides, after it's appealed to the appellate federal court and then to the Supreme Court of the United States, let them decide whether what the president did is or is not legal, is or is not constitutional. Don't have the politicians giving their opinion. They don't know. They are the legislative branch of the government. President Obama is the executive branch of the government. Let the judicial branch of the government be the referee here. Let the Supreme Court of the United States tell us what the Constitution says. That is the way it has always been. It is 16 minutes after 11 o'clock. I'll take a break, and we'll finish with these calls, and then I promise I want to direct. I tell you what, we'll go to Al Sharpton, and we'll weave in your other calls if you want to keep talking about immigration. That's fine. I understand not only how incendiary a topic it is, but I also understand, and believe me, from the bottom of my heart, and you know me for decades, I understand that I am out of step with the majority, not only of listeners to talk radio, but Americans generally. That doesn't weaken my position in terms of my own heart, but I understand it, and I just want to concede that I am the minority voice on this issue. Well, more ways than one.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO, 77 WABC.
Welcome back. 23 minutes after 11 o'clock on the East Coast, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Looking out my window high above San Francisco, I am downtown. I can see, if I look left, Marin County across the upper San Francisco Bay, the famed pyramid, I think the Transamerica pyramid, and then looking right, I see a bit of the Bay Bridge, and then the lower bay, and the big ships at anchor in the lower bay. Lovely San Francisco. You can see why they sing about this place. It is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. Out here, shades of what happened in Valhalla, Westchester County, exactly 3 weeks ago, when six died when that Metro North train collided with that Mercedes SUV, killing the driver. Here in California, all the news channels are showing this crash, 30 injured, at least two critical, down in Oxnard, California, just north of Los Angeles. A truck has been hit by a rail, a commuter train, 30 injured, at least two critical. The cars strewn everywhere. It looks even worse, worse than it is. I wouldn't be surprised if the casualty toll increases on that one. You know, I did an expose, and I'm going to get to Al Sharpton momentarily and to your calls. I did an expose for 2020 years ago where the dirty secret of American rail is that there's one of these every day someplace in America, a train derailing or hitting something. It's a factor of the condition of the rails, these crossings. I still maintain that the Valhalla, Westchester crash could have been avoided if the that automatic arm on the warning signal, if it had signaled somehow to the engineer of that oncoming train when it was still a mile or so away, maybe a tragedy could have been averted, and they've got to really pay a lot more attention to those crossings. But enough about that. Now let's go to Sharpton. As promised, we're going to begin this with sound coming from, you remember Project Veritas? Project Veritas, run by a guy named James O'Keefe. They're the ones that use the hidden camera to put the Acorn Group out of business, the community group that was giving people advice on how to beat the law. So Project Veritas, this hard right-wing group, but, you know, proof's in the pudding. If they get the meat on the story, then good for them. So James O'Keefe's group sent someone with a hidden camera to talk to Eric Garner's daughter. Eric Garner's daughter, Eric Garner, of course, the Staten Island man who was the victim of the chokehold by the cops that was subsequently not indicted. But there was a protest at St. George Ferry at the ferry terminal last month. Supporters of Eric Garner were there protesting that grand jury's decision not to indict. So James O'Keefe, the Project Veritas guy, sent someone with a hidden camera to speak to Erica Garner. I don't think that's her last name. I forget her last Snipes, Erica Snipes, about, that's Eric Garner's daughter, about Al Sharpton. Here is what the reporter, well, first you'll hear the reporter's question, then you'll hear Erica, the daughter, Eric Garner's daughter's response. Go ahead, play cut nine.
But it's not about them, it's about your dad.
Exactly. Instead of me, he wants his face in front of
him. Wants his group, paid, which
paid
is what?
The funeral. She's trying to make me feel like I'm old.
Ooh, hold on, I have my notice.
All right, so what she said, I don't know if you could hear it clearly, was he paid, Al Sharpton paid for the funeral, and she, Al Sharpton's associate, is making Erica, the daughter, feel like she owes Al Sharpton. So it is It is damning, Noam Layden, but not criminal, at least not yet. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think we have to, first of all, I want to hear all of that tape. We just heard bits and pieces that the New York Post put out this morning. But these are allegations that have been thrown Al Sharpton's way many times before, that he's been paid for his silence in terms of other things.
Wait, I'm going to get to him being paid for his silence, but this tape goes on. You think, the undercover investigator asks, you think, Erica, that Al Sharpton is kind of like a crook in a sense? The investigator is heard asking the oldest daughter, and the daughter replies, Garner's oldest daughter replies, he's about this, rubbing her fingers together. He's about money with you, the undercover asks, a leading question designed to get a response, doesn't make it wrong. Yeah, Erica responds, and she complains that the Staten Island director of Sharpton's National Action Network, a woman by the name of Cynthia Davis, scolded Erica for handing out street flyers about the case that did not include the National Action Network logo. There's that about Al Sharpton. But here is something that's tacky, if true. And I don't know, Noam's right. We have to hear the whole tape to see how leading those questions were. But I think maybe in a broader sense, what is more troublesome from Al Sharpton's point of view is this explosive $20 billion lawsuit just filed by a group called the National Association of African American Owned Media. And it's filed this lawsuit against Comcast. It wants to prevent the merger of the two big cable giants, Comcast and Time Warner, because they say that the Comcast has paid, and this is in the lawsuit, it claims in the lawsuit that Comcast paid Al Sharpton and the National Action Network cash donations in exchange for not screaming about the lack of black-owned cable channels. It's saying here that the black community has been sold out by Sharpton. That's what Byron Allen, the co-plaintiff, said. He's a black guy, a comedian. I know him well.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
Sharp dressed man. Is he talking about Al Sharpton? The sharp dressed man lost a lot of weight. I think that people lose a lot of weight that way. I remember my old boss, Rune Arledge at ABC News, when you have that catastrophic weight loss, I don't think you look healthy after. I got a funny picture of Al Sharpton with Ann Coulter hanging in my office at Fox News. So funny. Al is like this roly-poly guy, and Ann Coulter, of course, is rail thin, and they could not be more separated in terms of ideology. I'm going to get to your calls momentarily about Al Sharpton, but before I do, the caller who complained about my giving you the Dow Jones and reporting frequently, as Noam and I do, on the state of the market, because the market opens, of course, at 9:30, and our show's on from 10 until noon Eastern time there. The guy said, only 5% of Americans own stock. I don't know exactly how many, what percentage of Americans own stock. But it affects everybody, the stock market, the health of the stock market. The idea of selling stocks, you sell stocks in a company. Talk to Larry Kudlow, is a great program here on 77 WABC. When you sell stocks in a company, it means it gives the company capital. What does the company use capital for? The company uses capital to expand. The company uses capital to hire people so they can make whatever it is, the widget that the company makes. That's the American enterprise system. It affects every American. Every American. So maybe, you don't want the nuance of the financial news, Dow up, Dow down, NASDAQ up, NASDAQ down, Apple record, this, that, and the other thing. But you have to know that if you care about the financial health of your country, then you should care about the financial health of Wall Street. We hate Wall Street and all these Goldman and all these bankers that are unjustly enriched. The fact of the matter is a lot of the money that they raise through stock offerings are used for the righteous cause of expanding businesses, and that's good news for American workers. What is bad news for Al Sharpton is this lawsuit that alleges that the Reverend Al Sharpton's silence, a reason he did not oppose the merger between Time Warner and Comcast, is that he was paid off with $3.8 million, according to the lawsuit, so he would not complain about this merger. It is a $20 billion lawsuit, but, you know, you can put any number on a lawsuit. But Byron Allen, I told you, Marty and I know Byron Allen very well, even know his mom. Byron Allen, a comedian who is also an entrepreneur. He owns a company called Entertainment Studios. And he told the New York Post, among other things, Al Sharpton should be ashamed of himself for defending Comcast for a simple chicken dinner payoff. Well, I don't know about, payoff or not. I'm just telling you there is this massive lawsuit, and it comes at a time when the hidden camera footage of Eric Garner's daughter, Erica Garner, seeming to complain about the National Action Network's focus on finance is distressing, certainly for Al Sharpton. Here's John in Brooklyn. What do you think? John, thanks for calling 888.
866 Geraldo. With this guy, and the Daily News reported in December of 2014 that he was paid $110,000 from the Bloomberg nonprofit to keep quiet when Bloomberg went after his no term limits. You know, I've watched this guy operate, and he's very close to the president now, so he probably has a lot of juice. But the black guys that I work out with the gym that are sanitation guys and that are firemen and that are hardworking black people, they think he's a disgrace, and he is a disgrace. He made his money, Geraldo, off of old ladies that used to give him $10 back in the 80s, and he's capitalized and shook people down and has a network of professional protesters that he pays, okay? And that's how he gets his money.
You know, I was with you right to the end there, John, but I don't think not in the demonstrations I saw. They weren't – I mean, there may be his staffers, and maybe he – fleshes it out with, 50 professionals. But when I see tens of thousands fill Fifth Avenue, for instance, protesting at Stop and Frisk. Let's
take Stop and Frisk.
Hold it. Let me finish this. Let me finish this thought. Stop and Frisk. Who supported Stop and Frisk more fervently than me? Geraldo. I supported it. I used this platform right here, 77 WABC, to advocate and support Commissioner Ray Kelly and Mayor Bloomberg and Giuliani before them. I didn't have the radio show then, but I did in all my commentary support. I like the idea of Stop and Frisk. I thought it was necessary to maintain the peace and law and order in this city. And guess what? Statistically, it looks like I was wrong. You have to admit when you're wrong, just as
I'll call
you
back
in
the crow
when you're right.
And we'll see. I'll call you back.
All right. Well, you may be right, but my point is this. I saw a demonstration against Stop and Frisk that, and I appreciate the call, John, that filled Fifth Avenue, and they weren't paid demonstrators. There were a lot of young people there, young people who had been busted because they had two joints in their pocket back in those days when that was an arrestable offense, and they protested against it. They got de Blasio elected behind that. I mean, I forget what Roy Liotta was his name? Joe Loda. Was the Republican candidate? Did he even know? Did he even get 25% of the vote? I don't remember. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah, it was not close.
It wasn't close. People of New York, not those listening to this radio program or talk radio generally, but the people of New York, certainly the minority people of New York and a lot of other liberals, jumped in and they voted for Bill de Blasio. Bill de Blasio ended Stop and Frisk. Crime, if anything, is down. I mean, we obviously credit the NYPD for their great work, but something's going on. What do we do? 12 days, 13 days with no homicides compared to other cities where they got, St. Louis, a relatively small city where Ferguson is. St. Louis County had, what, 7 homicides in one weekend, a tiny city like that. I don't know why New York has been relatively crime-free, but certainly the ending of Stop and Frisk has not resulted in the kind of increase in violent crime that we feared. Here in Paul River is Kevin. What's up, Kevin? Thanks for calling 866-RL. What's on your mind? Hey, Kevin, you there, buddy? All right, no, Kevin. All right, let's go to Englewood Cliffs and Vince. Hey, Vince, what's up?
Hello?
Come on, you guys. Don't listen to your radios. You got to be on the phone. Okay. What's up, Vince? What are you thinking about?
Geraldo.
Okay, buddy, what? Yes, sir.
Okay. In the post office, there's the alien registration forms that every year that if you're here less than, I believe it's 2 years, you're allowed to register your visits and your residency. Now, you agreed that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I know that if you come in on a tourist visa, the tourist visa has a specific time that you have to you have to leave the country, and that's the source.
The 24 or 36 months. Now, the problem is that anybody who crosses an entry port, say Newark or JFK or any place in the country, you can come in through Canada. You register simply by filling out a simple form that states where you live, do you have a job, you don't necessarily have to work, you're issued a PIN number.
You're not allowed to work unless you have a green card. A green card is much harder to get than a visa.
Okay, the thing is this. The problem stems from the country of where they reside. They're, say, in Guatemala and El Salvador, Honduras, Ecuador. They go to their consulate as soon as they're told, pay us $10,000 and we'll let you into this country.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that, you know, here's the problem with hold on. Let me finish. If you have a visa and you overstay your visa, you're an undocumented immigrant. We don't talk about those undocumented immigrants because they tend to be people from Europe, and they don't bug us in the same way Mexico bugs us because we don't have the same image of them pouring over the border.
Everybody's European. Anybody who's Latino, you know, and I know that we have a certain amount of African blood in this. And that you, if you trace your ancestry,
I do. I definitely have a good dash of it. My dad's from Canary Islands.
I mean,
my
we're
family.
Latinos. Italians are Latinos. Mediterraneans.
I agree.
All the same rate. Okay.
I agree, but my point is not about blood. It's about visas. I'm not making a racial argument here.
Very simple.
It's not so simple. If you can't work.
Okay, I know you can't. You can work. If you get an exit permit from the country of which you live in, say you go to Honduras, and the Honduran government will give you an exit visa. The problem stems that we need to change the format. How do we get exit visas out of these countries so these poor people don't get their legs broken when they come here all banged up from their political system? We need to change the format.
Vince, I got to let you go. I get it. Okay, I got it. You got to change the system. I got it. We need immigration reform. We definitely need immigration reform. Here's Gino. What's up? Oh, Gino, I tell you what, can you hold on? I got to take a quick break.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
As I expected, welcome back, 77 WABC. Geraldo here in San Francisco. As I expected, that train wreck down in Southern California is worse than first reported. Now they are suggesting 51 injured, 4 critical. And when you see those cars all this way and that way overturned, it's almost certain that even that is not the totality of this disaster between the truck and the commuter train in Orange County, Oxnard, not Orange County, Ventura County, Oxnard, California, just north of L.A. I'm going to squeeze in Gino in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling 866 Geraldo. What's up, Gino?
Hello. Listen, let's be fair to Al Sharpton for a minute over here. He didn't make his bones taking $10 donations from old ladies in the street, and he doesn't need to pay protesters in New York City. The NYPD has been on such a terrible anti-crime campaign for the last dozen years that there's enough people that dislike them. That's number one. And number two, to be fair to Sharpton, he's a predatory lender. Look at his National Action Network. What they do is they prey on victims and people with civil lawsuits, and they make payments based on their collections in the years to come. So they're fronting money to people that are disadvantaged and going to be compensated by local governments. That's what
I'm not sure. Gino, are you speaking that you don't like Sharpton? You like him? You have what are you saying?
He's a cunning guy, but take him seriously. He's a schemer, and he's there.
He's not a trivial character. I agree with that. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.